Welcome to another message from the book of Acts. We're teaching the book of Acts from the original language, by the way. And we're in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're going to start in verse number 7. But I'm going to read all the way down from verse number 1 through number 7 before we start into our Greek reading. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak on your own behalf." At that, Paul stretched forth his hand to get their attention and made his defense as follows. "I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that it is before you that I am to make my defense today in regard to all the charges that have been brought against me by the Jews, especially because you are fully and unusually conversant with all the Jewish customs." Now remember that Agrippa was the one that took down the high priest and put up the high priest. He was the one that controlled the priests in Jerusalem. And controversies. "Therefore I beg you to hear me patiently, my behavior and manner of living from my youth up to is known by all of the Jews, and they are aware that from its commencement, my youth was spent among my own race in Jerusalem." And Gamaliel was his teacher, and Gamaliel was the highest regarded teacher of that time. "And they have a knowledge of me for a long time, if they are willing to testify to that. That is, in accordance with the very strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee," and basically he said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he was a zealot of the Pharisees. "And now I stand before you on trial to be judged on the ground of the hope of the promise made to our forefathers by God, which hope of the Messiah and the resurrection of our 12 tribes conveniently confidently expect to realize as they fervently worship without ceasing night and day. And for that hope, O King, I am accused by the Jews as a criminal." Now the hope of the resurrection. As I said in former classes, the Jews believed that only the Jews would be resurrected. None of the Gentiles, they just die and stay in the ground. I'm going to preach a sermon on death and walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And the Jews believed, of course the Sadducees did not do that, but the Pharisees believed that there was a resurrection and the resurrection would be of the Jewish people. Now starting with number 8, T, apiston, krenete, par himen, a ho theos necros egere. And then he said why. Here, this little why there is a interrogative pronominal adjective. Just about like a particle. Page 406, I believe, in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. Incredible or unbelievable. The word apiston there, pistio, means I believe. And this here is a noun, and it says, why is it incredible, unbelievable, not believable? It is judged by you, since God, the dead, he raises. Now here we have a little first-class conditional particle, A, there. And that little A there means the condition is determined as fulfilled. And he says that God does raise the dead ones. He raises up the dead ones. Ho theos, he raises up the necros, the dead. Verse number 9 now. Ego man un edoxa, iamato pros tu onoma, esu tu nazareu, Dane, Pola, Enantia, Proxae. therefore, that word un there, that's therefore, and actually it starts there. It starts with the third word in that sentence. And then you go backward. Therefore, I indeed, or most affirmatively, because that's a little particle of affirmation, that man there, the word amen is also a particle of affirmation. Therefore, indeed, I thought. I judged. I understood to myself toward the name of Jesus, the Nazarene. It was bindingly necessary many things contrary to do. Paul was a very religious man, but he was wrong. And when Paul realized that he was wrong, he turned around immediately. When he realized he was in error, God had to strike him blind to open his eyes. God had to strike him blind to open his eyes. And then he began to serve the Jesus that he persecuted. It's so bad today and so sad that people like in the Jehovah's Witness cult, the Mormonism, Catholicism, don't serve God when they hear the real gospel. It's a shame that they don't turn around like Paul turned around immediately. Verse number 10 now. Ha kai apoiesa and jurulisa mois. Kai polus te ton hagion ego en philakes. Kata klesa tain para ton akerion exousia labon ana iru menon te auton kata negia siphon. Now he's referring back to when he cast his vote to kill Stephen at Stephen's gate, or the eastern gate where he was killed, the sheep gate, that is. Which indeed I did in Jerusalem. Now look at the word Jerusalem there. It's Jerusalemois. And Jerusalemois is plural. Okay? In all parts of Jerusalem, everywhere he went around seeking out Christians to persecute them. And many, both of the saints. The word hagion there, of course, comes from the word hagios, and it means literally not of earth. It comes from alpha and then gay, not of earth. When you're born from above, you're born not of the earth. When you're born from below, or the earth, you are of the earth. You have an earthly father and an earthly mother, but when you're born again, you're born from above. God is your father now, and you become one not of earth. And the saints, I, in prisons. I shut them down. I locked them down in prisons, is what he said. In phylakes, kata klesa. I put them down under lock and key. And he says, beside the high priest, they gave him unlimited authority that he received from them. And he says, some of these were being killed, and them I cast my vote against. I cast my lot with. Paul was a voting member of the Sanhedrin court. There were 23 scribes, 23 elders, 23 priests, and one high priest. And Paul was one of those. He was one of the 23 elders or priests. Priest, he was not a priest, of course. The scribes were the county clerks. The elders were the fathers or the leaders of the nation, and of course of one high priest, which, as we looked at before, Agrippa appointed the high priest. What does Agrippa mean? Now, you remember what Agrippa means? Agrippa, it comes from Agria and Hippos. You remember that, Sharon?
Horse.
Wild horse. Yeah, wild horse, Agria, wilder of the field, and Hippos' horse. A wild horse, that's what his name was. Philip of Macedonia. Philip means I love horses. Philo, hippos. He said, I was a hungry wolf on the trail of these Christians. I was a coyote nipping at their heels. I was a lion seeking to devour them. Kai kata pasos tas synagogos palakis timaron autos enag kazon blasphemine perisos te minos autois e diokon eos kai eis tas exo polis. And according to each synagogue, to all the synagogues, every synagogue, often I was punishing them. I kept on punishing them. I was a hungry wolf on their trail. And I kept on compelling them to blaspheme exceedingly. I wanted them to denounce the name of Jesus. And of course, denouncing the name of Jesus is blasphemy. Excessively, parisos, both, raging like an insane madman. That's what he says. Emanomenos, raging like an insane madman. That word comes from minomai. We got a word manic from that. Manic episodes, crazy episodes, insane, at least temporary insanity. He said, I kept on acting like a raging maniac and madman to them. I kept on persecuting as far as, that word eos there, that's a little conjunctive of time. It is a, it means as far as, it has an idea of location. Even unto the outside of the cities. Paul chased them all the way to Damascus, Syria. Now Paul, from 12 through 18, starts telling us about his conversion and his vision. Paul's vision, his dream, his hypnotic trance that God struck him in. In hois poruomenos eis tein Damascon, met exousion kai epitrophes tes ton akerion. In witches. Look at that word hois there. That is a little locative plural relative pronoun. In witches. Journeying for myself. This is the participle there, peruomenos. And he's journeying. He kept on journeying. He was always on the road, always on the trail of Christians, always. Like a mad dog, a raging wolf, unto Damascus. Little ace there. The preposition ace denotes the accusative case of the object. Ace and the accusative case means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Either they're thinking or they're bringing action. He said, even unto Damascus, I was chasing them with authority, exousia. The word exousia means out of it. It means no limits, unlimited authority and power, epitropes. The power to decide, the power to basically kill them if he saw fit. To decide who were criminals, like now that Paul is a criminal. The authority to decide and to arrest by the authority of the high priest. And this gets Agrippa's attention because the high priests are under his control. Hemeris meses kata tain hodon adon basileu Uranathen, hiper tain lam pro teta, tu hui heliu, perilopson, me fos kai tu sin emoi peruomenos. It says, in the middle of the day, along the road, O king, I saw from heaven, Uranothan means from heaven, above, the brightness. Now, we get our word lamp from this word, lamproteta. We get our word lamp right out of this. The brightness, the shining of the sun, beyond it, above it, beyond that little hyper there, we get hyperglycemia. That means you got high blood sugar. This means high, way up. It has the idea of place, preposition of place, of the sun, brighter than the sun. You know that the lightning is brighter than the sun. One time walking here about 9 miles that way or so, lightning struck on the ground in the middle of the night out there in front of me and blinded me. Now, I've had my eyes sore from welding. I was a welder at Sunland Refinery for years. And my eyes would get sore from being inside of a tank or towers welding inside the tank. And it would flash around my shield and would make my eyes sore, kind of burn my eyes. And that will cause cataracts. Many welders get cataracts because of that. Well, this was brighter than the sun, like a lightning strike. Having shined around me, a phos, a light. We get a word phosphorus, we get a word photo and everything from that word phos there. And with me, the ones journeying with me, tous there, that there is a definite article in the plural, but it also carries with it a practical substantive. And it means the ones with me journeying. Now let's look at verse number 14. Let's get up there to verse number 14. We'll try to get to number 19 in this class. Ponton te kata pesonton hemon ace tang gay akusa phonane lugusa pros me te ibrada dialecto sol sol ti me diokes scleron soe pros canthra lank teasing. Now, Jesus is using a very old parable right now, a very old parable. He says, both all the ones that haven't fallen down around us unto the earth. And I heard a voice, I heard a phonane, a voice, a sound, saying to me in the Hebrew dialect. We got a word dialect right from this dialecto. Hebreda. The Hebrew. And it said, Sha'ol, 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 Saul, Saul, why me do you persecute? Why do you chase me down? Hard, harmful to you toward the goads to kick. Now, it's harmful for you to kick against the goad. The sharp sticks. This was part of an old play, a Greek play. Plays that used this figure of speech in them that Jesus used to catch Paul's attention by it in this Greek play. The Greek tragedy, Prometheus, by Aeschylus, had this parable in it. Aristeron trilogy and Agamemnon, the play by Aeschylus again, used this parable again. And then Bacchae by Euripides used this same parable or the same figure of speech. For what stupidity is it if you kick against the goad? Agamemnon. Remember, Agamemnon was the one that went against Troy. He went against Troy, and of course, that's where Achilles got killed. And he went against Troy there, and it was said of him, why are you kicking against the sharp sticks? And the chorus says, does not this sight bid you reflect? Then do not kick against the gold, lest you strike out against and be hurt. Now, what it's talking about is a sharp stick. Now, oxen, when they were plowing or carrying or pulling a wagon or whatever, they didn't have reins on them. They guided them with a stick. Then when they got stubborn and wouldn't go, they would take this sharp stick, and it had like a nail in the end of it, and they would put it down on their hips like this, and they'd poke them on the hip. Well, an ox might kick against that one time because he's going to drive that stake right into his flesh, through his skin and into his flesh, and it's going to hurt him. And so an ox, what we call a dumb animal, and I'm not sure how dumb animals are dumb, but an ox, an animal, a dumb animal, knows better than kick against the goads after the first poke. He said, now, Paul, why are you kicking against me? You want to worship God, but you're fighting me. You're fighting the revealed prophecies of me and of in the Bible. And verse number 15, ego de epa, tis a kyrie, ho de kyrios, epen, ego eimi esus, hon si diokes. And then he said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? And the one said, I am Jesus. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Now, Jesus is the name Yahshua. Yahshua means Jehovah saved. Jesus had a real good name because he was going to save his people. Ola anastethi kai stethi epitus podos si eis tuto gar ofthane, that is, si pro ke resasti si heperete kai martura hon te eides me hon ti apthesomai si. But you stand up. But you stand up and stand upon your feet now. And go unto this, eis tuto, in this, for this purpose. For I have appointed you, and I have appeared to you. I have appeared to you to appoint you, to handpick you. Paul was handpicked by Jesus Christ. Pro kerizomai, handpicked for myself, you, as a servant, as a scribe, as one who takes as secretary. You're going to be my secretary, Paul. And by the way, Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, didn't he? And a witness with your life. Of witches, both you saw me, of witches again, both, and I shall appear to you. Verse number 17 now. Ex aeromenos, si ek tu lau, kai ek ton ethnon, eis hus ego, apostello si. He said, delivering you out from among the people and out from among the nations unto whom I shall send you. I'm going to send you unto the Gentiles. I'm going to send you unto the heathens. Paul was super prejudiced up until this point. He was super prejudiced. He wouldn't go into a Gentile's house. He wouldn't shake a Gentile's hand. He wouldn't do anything with Gentiles because they were profane. They were dirty. But now, God's going to send him to the dirty people, to the dogs. onos e ophthalmos auton tu epistrepse aposkotis eis phos kai tes exousias tu satana epi ton theon tu labain autos aphason hamartion kai kleroon eis tois hygiosomenois piste te eis ime. He said, I'm going to send you to open up the eyes of them, and I'm going to tell them to do an about face. Turn right hard back. Now in the army, when they teach you how to march, you march and then you'll do an about face, just turned around 180 degrees, zip, like that. To turn around abruptly from darkness unto light and the authority of Satan. Paul did not realize it, but he was working for Satan instead of God. And now he's going to use Paul to turn the Gentiles from Satan, the power of Satan, unto God. Upon the God, and they shall receive forgiveness, sending away of sins. And a lot among the ones having been sanctified in faith unto me or in me. And of course, it's talking about Jesus. Now let's go back and read this from verse number 8 on. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself indeed was once persuaded that it was my duty to do many things contrary to and in defiance of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that it is what I did in Jerusalem, all parts of Jerusalem. Remember, that's plural. Every little corner, every little alley in Jerusalem. And I not only shut up many of the faithful holy ones in prison by virtue of authority received from the chief priests, but when they were being condemned to death, I cast my vote against them. And he's specifically talking about Stephen. And frequently I punished them in all the synagogue to make them blaspheme, to denounce the name of Jesus. And in my bitter fury against them, I harassed, troubled, molested, persecuted, and pursued them even unto foreign cities. Thusly engaged, I proceeded to Damascus, and with the authority and orders of the chief priest, when on the road at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven, out of the heavens, literally, surpassing the brightness of the sun, flashing around me and those who were traveling with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice, literally a sound, which became a voice. Now, the other ones heard the sound, but they didn't understand the voice. In the Hebrew language dialect, saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you continue to persecute me and to harass and trouble and molest me? And isn't it dangerous for you and turns out badly for you if you keep on kicking against the goads? Be smarter than a dumb ox. That is to offer in vain a perilous resistance. I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, Jehovah said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand upon your feet, and I have appeared to you for this purpose, that I might appoint you to serve as my minister and to hear witness both to what you have seen of me and that in which I shall appear to you. Now, Paul would be taught by Jesus for 3 years personally, remember? Mm-hmm. And he would be appointed as an apostle. And he uses that term too. Choosing you out, selecting you for myself, and delivering you from among the Jewish people and to the Gentile to whom I am sending you. And that is a fulfillment of Ezekiel 2:1-3. And to open the eyes that they may turn from the darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan to God, and so that they may thus receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and a position among those who are consecrated and purified by faith. Verse number 19, the last verse now. Othen basile agrippa uk egi nomen apethes te uranio optasia. And from there on, King Agrippa, I for myself was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. From that point on, I was not disobedient to what God showed to me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. God appeared unto him. And you know, if you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ, every person in this world has a troubling of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know Him. Believe that God sent Him to save your souls, to give you eternal life. And that God sent Him to specifically take away your sins. If nobody else, He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Ask Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me for what I have done. And save my soul for what Jesus sacrificed for me. Father, thank you for this message. And use it for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name.